and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of dispensations, we've looked at the dispensation of innocence, and we've also looked at the second dispensation, and that is conscience. And now I'd like for us to look at the third dispensation of human government. And this would be approximately Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13 through Genesis chapter 11 and verse 19. This would be from the flood through the up into the Tower of Babel. And we're going to look at that as we end this section of scripture concerning that of the dispensation of human government. And we'll be going into the next dispensation after that. Well, notice this, that human government was established, and we talked about this last time, how that God had placed the fear of man upon the animals. And then we see that one of the contrasts between the dispensation of innocence and the dispensation of human government, and when we go back and study the dispensation of innocence, we find that man was to eat plants and he was to, you know, not partake of any kind of flesh or anything like that. But there's a contrast now between the dispensation of innocence and dispensation of human government. And there was a change in the menu. Man's menu changed. Man becomes carnivorous. In other words, a meat eater. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 3 talks about that. And it says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Well, this means that a man would be able to have with his salad now some flesh. He would be able to have a steak with his salad now. And man became a meat eater after the flood. And in the beginning, the dispensation of innocence, man was a vegetarian. Remember this, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Well, when the dispensation of human government began, man was no longer simply a salad eater. He was not only that, but the menu changed for man. He could now eat steak. Genesis 9:3 once again says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Well, every time, this is something that we need to think about. Every time a Bill Gates tells you to eat a bug, and by the way, he does do that. He wants people to eat bugs. Every time he tells you to eat a bug or indulge in a big juicy veggie burger, remember what God's menu for man is. Genesis 3, once again, 9:3 once again says that man is to eat meat. Now, I'm not telling you to go against your doctor's orders. If your doctor tells you something else, then you need to follow your doctor's orders. I'm not that kind of a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I simply like to eat meat. Well, notice that not only did man become a meat eater, and this is a change that took place, but capital punishment is instituted. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5, and it says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Well, and we read further into the Word of God, and we find this was carried out, and this was to be carried out, and there's more verses that talk about the capital punishment that came upon mankind because of the human government, and it was because of the wickedness of man, really. Now, a covenant is established between God, Noah, and Noah's seed. We read about this in Genesis 9 and verse 9. It says, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you." This is God speaking. "And with your seed after you." He's talking to Noah. And then the covenant in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 9 is a promise. Or in other words, an agreement between God and man. Now, a covenant may be conditional or unconditional. And we'll read about that in just a moment in Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. So it can be conditional or unconditional. The covenant with Noah was unconditional. Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, and it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." Now remember, when Noah got off the ark, he built an altar and he offered sacrifice to the Lord. "And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." And then, once again, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." It's unconditional. It's an unconditional covenant. He said, this is the way it's going to be. That is, God said this. And then in Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 13, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Well, God has always had a plan. God has never failed to keep his word. God has never failed man. Man has failed God on many occasions. And we need to realize this, that God never fails us. And we need to get busy for the Lord. You and I are saved people, and we need to be serving him as much as we can, as much as lies within us as human beings, as the children of God. We need to be serving him. And we need to understand that the covenant that God made with Noah stands today, and that nothing can stop that because it's unconditional. God said man would not stop the covenant that he established with Noah. Well, notice something now about the dispensation of human government as we continue looking at this. Man failed God. As we've studied about the flood, man failed God. Well, they had the witness of nature, and man today has the witness of nature. There is no excuse for man failing God, because we have everything that we need to let us know how that we need to be, could I use the word behave, and to do the things that God wants us to do as human beings. We have the witness of nature today. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The flood came, man was without excuse. Man heard the word from Noah, and man's hearing the word of God today from preachers who are preaching the word of God, who are standing up for the word of God and standing up for God. This is something that you and I need to be standing up for, someone that we need to stand up for, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't cower down when someone says something about the Lord. Let them know that Jesus saves, that Jesus is God, and that he wants everyone to know him as Lord and Savior. These people back at the flood, before the flood, they had the witness of conscience. We have the witness of conscience today. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Well, this is something that when we read these verses in the New Testament, we not only see innocence involved, people trying to say, well, I'm innocent. I don't know these things. Well, God says you have the witness of nature. You have the things around you. You can't explain how that things just happened. Now, mankind had the theory. It used to be called the theory of evolution, and now it's being taught as real in government schools. And this is only a theory that man came up with that was spearheaded by the devil. There's no such thing as evolution. We've talked about man's innocence. We've talked about man's conscience, how that the conscience lets us know when we're wrong, but it does not tell us how to change those things. It has to be by God. It has to be God through His Word that tells us how to change things in our lives that's wrong and how that we can go to heaven. And the real way to change things that's wrong in our lives is by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says He takes away all sin, past, present, and future, once we trust Him as Lord and Savior. There's no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15, we see the promise of the Redeemer. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, man has been without excuse, and man is still without excuse. We see that the flood came, and the saved were those who were on the ark. And they left the ark after the flood, and they went out. And God told them to be fruitful and multiply. That means to fill up the earth. The fear of man was placed upon the animals. Man became a meat eater. God established capital punishment. And the covenant was established with Noah. A covenant is a promise or an agreement between God and man. And remember, the covenant that God made with Noah was unconditional. He said, no matter what, this is going to take place. What He tells us in His Word would take place that He told Noah. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There's another covenant. It's an unconditional covenant that God says nothing is going to change. That if a man will come to Him, he will in no wise cast out. God has made that covenant with mankind today, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ could be saved. God said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It makes no difference who you are. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the unconditional covenant that God makes with each one of us, that if we will call upon His name, that we believe that He is the Savior and that He can save us and we're willing to go His way. He says nothing can change that. Once we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, we have everlasting life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.